Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the book of Psalms, the 113th Psalm. We're going to study this particular psalm today, and it's interesting that they would sing about the Lord lifted up on high and his name being worthy to be praised, because that is exactly what today's psalm is all about. And I believe that this is going to give us an opportunity to just praise God for what he has done in giving us moms. I tell you what, my mother taught me to think ahead. She said this: if you don't pass your spelling test, you'll never get a good job. My mother taught me humor, somebody said. When that lawnmower cuts off your toes, don't come running to me. My mother taught me how to become an adult. If you don't eat your vegetables, you'll never grow up. My mother taught me about genetics. You're just like your father. My mother taught me about my roots. Do you think you were born in a barn? My mother taught me about justice. Justice. One day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. Then you'll see what it's like. You ever call sometimes you call a young mom, they've got several kids, and I'm telling you, it's hard to talk to them. Kids in the background asking questions, sometimes, you know, interrupting, kind of loud. And one person called a young mom, and sure enough, it was just loud in the background. And the young mom said, "Hold on just a second." And when she came back, it was like silent. And the person was so impressed. And the person said, "Hey, it's completely silent. What did you do? You must have complete control over those children." The mom said, "No, not really. I'm in the closet." Oh, man, I tell you. I read this, though, and I think this sums up what our moms need. She doesn't want the accolades of her life coming from the community or the townspeople or even the folks at church, at work, or in the neighborhood. This woman gets it from those that matter most to her, those that are the closest to her and know her best, those that have received a lifetime of the first fruits of her day in and day out love, her family. That's where we can say, thank you, Mom, for all that you mean to us. We're in a series in the Psalms called Real Help for Real People. The reason that we're titling it this is because, and if you look at your listening guide that you have in your bulletin on the very back, there's a statement at the very top of that I want us to get every week and just be reminded of it. We live in a world where two dimensions operate. There's the temporal or the horizontal world. This is what I call the nasty now and now. This is life right now as we're living it one to another. And it's the horizontal world. It's the temporal world. But we also know that there is a transcendent or vertical world. The reason I love the Psalms is the Psalms recognizes both of those dimensions. In other words, the book of Psalms is about praising God. It's about lifting up his name, and we sang about his name, and we praised his name. At the same time, we're praising him in our vertical relationship to the Lord. The Lord gives us insight in the Psalms of how to live on this horizontal plane with one another. Today, we're looking at the descriptive praise psalms. Now, this is Psalm 33, 36, 105, 111, 113, 135, 136, and 146. We basically have in all the psalms, there are all these different types of psalms, the wisdom psalms, the confidence psalms, the individual petition psalms, the corporate petition psalms, the pilgrimage psalms, the thanksgiving psalms, the corporate thanksgiving psalms, the general praise psalms, the descriptive praise psalms. Now, that's what we're going to talk about today, the descriptive praise psalms, the imprecatory psalms, the messianic psalms, and then the enthronement psalms. So we've got each of those topics. So wherein we're not going to necessarily go through every single psalm, we're going to take those categories. And last week we talked about the wisdom psalms and what the wisdom of God that we get from the psalms. But today is the descriptive praise psalms. Now in these psalms, we praise God for his character. That's one of our blanks. For his character and for his works. Now, one of the reasons I wanted to do this psalm today is because this psalm gives us insight that God blesses us and does things to impact our life. And one of those things is he gave us moms. And so we can take this psalm today and we can make that application. It's even mentioned at the tail end of this psalm. As a matter of fact, let me read Psalm 113. You follow along in your copy of God's Word, and I'll read from mine. It says, "Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord." Verse 2, "Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised." Verse 4, "The Lord is high above all nations." We just sang about that. "And his glory above the heavens." Verse 5, "Who is like the Lord our God, who dwells on high, who humbles himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth? He raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap, that he may seat him with princes, with the princes of his people. He grants the barren woman a home like a joyful mother of children." The descriptive praise psalms. And we call them these because we are praising God for his character and we're praising God for his works. Now, Psalm 113 is one of the Hallel psalms. These were psalms that were sung at the Passover time when the people gathered corporately. They were also sung in the home. People would sing these songs in the home. They were sung at the annual festivals in Jerusalem, and during the celebration of Passover, they were sung in the home. So there's just two quick things that I want us to think about as we think about the descriptive praise psalms. Number one, we must praise the Lord. We must praise the Lord. Verses 1 through 3, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man, praise the Lord. I was reading the wrong psalm. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Verse 2, blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. Verses 1 through 3. It says the servants of the Lord are to praise him. These are his loyal people. These are his followers. We are to praise the name of the Lord. And this phrase, the name of the Lord, is mentioned three times in verses 1 through 3. There's something significant about the name of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord revealed his character through his names in the Old Testament. Think about these names we've heard. Elohim, Adonai, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Ehana, Jehovah Tzidkenu, Jehovah Nisi, El Elyon, El Shaddai. And then when we come to the New Testament, we learn the Lord says, pray in this way, our Father. And so all of these names reveal that we are to praise him. We are to lift him up because he has revealed himself to us. We absolutely, ladies and gentlemen, must praise the Lord. As a matter of fact, when it says praise the Lord, that basically is the word we know as hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lord our God. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, where are we to praise him? Well, it says this, from the rising of the sun to the going down to its going down, the name of the Lord is to be praised. In other words, the rising of the sun in the east, the going down of the sun in the west. In other words, as far as you can go east, you should be praising the Lord. As far as you can go west, you should be praising the Lord. The worship of God has been graciously extended to all parts of the globe. As far east and as far west as one could go, we are to praise the Lord. We just prayed for our East Asia team. They're in East Asia. I'm not exactly sure what time it is. There are those that could tell me exactly. I don't know if it's 12 hours ahead or what it is, but I can tell you this. All over this globe, there are people praising the Lord. Amen, church? God's people are praising the Lord. And then it says this, this time forth and forevermore. It reminds you of Isaiah chapter 59, verse 21, that says this, as for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them, my spirit who is upon you and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. That phrase, we should praise the Lord, we must praise the Lord from this time and forevermore, is telling us that for all generations, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be praising God. We need to be doing whatever it takes to make sure that our little children grow up learning to praise the Lord and to honor the Lord with their life. Now, number two, why do we praise Him? We see this in verses 4-9. It says, the Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God who dwells on high? So interesting, Robert, that we sang that song, that you led us in that song. We had not necessarily talked about it, but God puts the music together. We were singing about how high the Lord is. The Lord is high above all the heavens and above all the earth. And verse 5 says, He dwells on high. Verse 6, who humbles Himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth. He raises the poor out of the dust. He lifts the needy out of the ash heap, that He may seat him with princes, with the princes of His people. He grants the barren woman a home like a joyful mother of children. So we're learning in verses 4-9, why do we praise Him? Well, the first reason we praise Him is because God is high above all. He is above the nations. God is over the earth. God is over the nations. He rules nations. The Bible says the heart of kings is in the hands of the Lord. We're heading into election season, and boy, I tell you what, it's all heating up about who's going to be elected president. Well, let me just set you at ease. You know, there's not any of that that's going to surprise the Lord. The Bible says the heart of kings is in the hands of the Lord. You know, the truth is we're probably going to get who we deserve. Amen. We'll probably get who we deserve. But regardless of who we get, the Bible teaches that history is really His story. History is His story. And the truth is, this psalm, this descriptive praise psalm, in other words, we are to praise God for His character and His works, okay? His character and His works. One of the things about the character of God is He's above all this earth. He's over it all. So He is high above all. He's above the nations. But then in verse 4, it even says He's above the heavens. Now, a lot of times we think about God being in heaven. In other words, that's the destination of God. This psalm tells us God is above the heavens. God is above the heavens. All of this is summarized in the statement, who is like the Lord our God? God is above the earth. God is above the heavens. Summarized in this statement, who in the world is like the Lord our God? Remind you of Deuteronomy. Think about this scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 24. You may want to jot that down and go back and look at it yourself. I'll read it. It says, O Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth, who can do anything like your works and your mighty deeds? So, let's review. We must praise the Lord. We must praise Him. And we must do it as far as the east is from the west. We must do it everywhere, and we must do it forevermore. Every generation, we must train them and teach them the greatness of God so that they can praise the Lord. But why do we do it? Well, first of all, we do it because God is high above all. But then here's another reason. And I really wanted to get to this point. Because God stoops to bless us. God stoops to bless us. I noticed as I dug into this passage that the scripture tells us in verse 6, it says, who humbles himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and the earth. Do you realize that God had to go low even to look upon what happens in heaven? God had to stoop to go down to heaven to observe, like it says, the things that are in the heavens and the earth. So he stoops to bless us. And that's really the story of the Lord, ladies and gentlemen. That is the reason these descriptive psalms are written. We are to praise him because the paramount truth that we see when we study the nature and character of God is that God is altogether different than mankind. You hear me? God is altogether different than mankind. But for some reason, God lowers himself to touch our lives. God, and when I say lower, it doesn't mean he reduces his deity. But he chooses to impact us. And we are to praise him. We must praise him because of this. In other words, he's high above all. We need to praise him for that. But we praise him because God stoops to bless us. He humbles himself. He humbles himself. To behold, it says. He looks in verse 6, it says, the things that are in the heavens and the earth. Who humbles himself to behold, to see the heavens and the earth. Let me say this to you, just dwell on this thought today. God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, he with one word spoke the stars in place. Can I say this to you in your situation where you are right now? God sees you. The scripture says that. He beholds in verse 6. He humbles himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and the things that are on the earth. And then in verses 7 and 8, the psalmist quotes 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 8, which is the song of Hannah. Hannah was a woman who wanted a child, and she cried out to the Lord, and the Lord gave her Samuel. And this is literally almost a direct quote from 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 8. As a matter of fact, some have said that this psalm, they're not exactly sure who wrote this actual psalm, that they think it is a king whose wife is expecting their first child. And so he's rejoicing in motherhood here in these last verses. He says, he raises the poor out of the dust. And this is the quote from Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 2. He raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap, that he may seat him with princes, with the princes of his people. He grants the barren woman a home like a joyful mother of children. God seats the lowly with princes. Now, historically, the statement is illustrated, think about this, in the Old Testament, by the examples of Joseph seating the lowly with princes. This is something God has done. Descriptively, we praise him because of what he has done. You think about it. He has taken the lowly. What does the scripture say? He's taken the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Well, think about these people from the Old Testament who were lowly but ended up being seated with princes. Think about Joseph. Think about Saul. Think about David. Think about Daniel. We're studying Daniel on Wednesday nights in our prayer meeting at 4 o'clock. Boy, we're digging into prophecy. It's getting hot and heavy in there. But Daniel was one who was captured and taken away to Babylon, and yet he ended up being a leader in that nation. There's Daniel, and then there's Mordecai. Just those few examples of the lowly whom God has exalted and seated with princes. And then it says, even with the princes of his people. The emphasis of the high Lord, listen, the emphasis of the high Lord, the Lord above heaven and earth, becoming low, propels us into thinking about the gospel of Jesus. I want you to hold your place in this psalm, and I want you to go to the book of Philippians in the New Testament. Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Now, either you have a smartphone with a Bible on it, or you're waiting for Josh to put it on the screen, or you're just not turning, or you just don't have a Bible. I'm not hearing a lot of pages. That is music to a pastor's ear when you hear those pages, but I realize times are changing. You probably have an iPad or you have it on your smartphone. That's okay. But take a look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Here is a New Testament. Here's a New Testament description of the Lord stooping. And we are to praise him. Why? Because the Lord is high above the heavens and the earth, but the Lord has stooped down in order to make an impact, to bless us, okay? Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you. We should emulate this, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. And that phrase means, even though he was God, he did not see that as something to be grasped and held on to at the expense of others. The most selfless act that we know of in all of history was Jesus Christ in heaven, above the heavens, with God the Father, and yet he did not hold on to that position, but he left that position. It says he did not consider it robbery or something to be held on to be equal with God. Verse 7, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men. God stooped. Did he have to? No. Did he want to? Yes. He gave himself for us. He came in the likeness of men, verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So you can go back to Psalm 113. The Lord must be praised. He must be praised over the whole earth. He must be praised from now on forevermore, because the bottom line of today's psalm is, who in the world is like the Lord? No one is. But why must we praise him? Well, he's high above the heavens. He's high above the earth. But the thing that blows me away is that God stooped to bless us. Can I say this? God, I don't know if you sense this or not. I sensed it as a teenage boy. And let me say this. Say it to you this way. God is after you. God is after you. Now, why? I don't know. I know some of you. And you know me, right? Let's be honest. But can I tell you this? Jesus Christ is after you. He's going to, and he keeps coming. You know what happens when Jesus gets a hold of us? We start getting after people too. That's what happened to me as a boy. I had these laymen at the church after me. Why were they after me? I think I've told you before, but when I was 15, my dad died of cancer, and my parents had already split up when I was six, and so I saw my dad quite often in the summers and things, and we had a great relationship, so that was a big jolt. But before I came and got involved in the things of the Lord at the church, those men were after me, and they used to come visit me, and I've told you I'd run out the side door and tell Mom, tell them I'm not here. I don't want you to have to lie about it. But see, God had stooped to bless them, and they couldn't be the same. They had to go after others. I don't know why they came after me. And listen, I found in a box, do y'all stuff things in boxes? We got boxes of stuff, just cards and schoolwork from the kids and old pictures and stuff. And every once in a while, I get these out. Well, I found a card. Listen, my dad, when these men were involved trying to reach me for the Lord, my dad never lived in Florida. He was in North Carolina at the time. Somehow, Bill Parrott, my ninth grade Sunday school teacher, I was not even saved. I was not a Christian. He knew my dad was sick. And I found, I guess they saved it at the place dad was in the hospital or being treated for cancer. They saved this card, but Bill Parrott, the guy who was after me, now I was not giving this guy the time of day. He was coming after me, and I was not responding. I was not going to the class. I was not involved, and he kept coming after me. But I have a card where Bill wrote my dad a note in North Carolina and told him about Jesus Christ, shared the gospel with my dad. People don't really do that. But I think because Bill knew that God had stooped for him, he let this mind be in him, and Bill let the mind of God be in him, which was also in Christ Jesus. And Bill was just reaching out to me and reaching out to my family. And the bottom line is he wanted to make sure my dad knew Jesus. So much so that he wasn't embarrassed to confront my father, whom he really didn't know. But he said, hey, I'm your son's Sunday school teacher. I've been trying to get him to come. And he said, I just want you to know I've heard that you're not doing well, and I just want you to know that Jesus Christ loves you, and I've enclosed a little gospel booklet that could tell you about Christ. Hey, can I tell you this? Do you know what that card, I've got a lot of little things that I've kept, but you know what that means to me? And by the way, realized later that my dad did know Jesus, that he had Christ in his life, and I look forward to seeing him in heaven. But the emphasis, why do we praise him? We praise him because he's high above the heavens, he's high above the earth, but we praise him because God stooped to bless us. This is a descriptive psalm, and we see it illustrated what God has done to touch our lives. Now, I want to finish by giving this quote here. I tried to quote this to you last week, but I went and found it. Dr. Adrian Rogers said this, and I thought it was very interesting. It stretches your mind. Jesus, being infinite, suffered in hell in a finite time what you, being finite, would have suffered in hell in an infinite time. That's a powerful statement. Because you say, you know, the Lord was crucified, and he was in the grave for 3 days, but you know, time does not have its grip on God. And so here's the thought of what Christ did. He stooped down out of heaven's glory to die for you. Jesus, being infinite, suffered in hell in a finite time what you, being finite, would have suffered in hell in an infinite time. God stooped. And one of the things that the Lord has done descriptively is the Lord has blessed us with moms. And as a matter of fact, at the end of this passage, it says in Psalm 113, verse 8, that he may seat him with princes, with the princes of his people. He grants the barren woman a home like a joyful mother of children. God has blessed womanhood with motherhood, and that's another reason that we worship and praise him. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.